I'll tell you guys a personal story, okay? I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was in the Air Force about 3 years ago, this is a tough story to talk about, but 2 to 3 years ago, I was... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to discuss healthful habits for men. I have some habits that I've adopted over the last couple of years that have really impacted and changed my life. And so I wanted to think to myself, and I said, you know what? What habits, if I could give myself 6 years ago, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, what advice would I give to myself? You know, assuming I wasn't too hard-headed to listen and actually heed the advice. And I really thought to myself, and I said, I can narrow it down to about three major things. Three, okay? And I know you could go on pretty much any YouTube channel and they'll say, oh, five things to look more attractive, five ways to be more masculine, five ways to be more productive, whatever. That's not exactly what today's show is going to be. It's going to be more life advice and things you maybe hadn't thought about before. So if you're a man who maybe you have bad habits, you had a lot of bad habits, and you're trying to reinvent yourself, you're trying to be disciplined, trying to develop yourself into somebody that you're not currently at, and you're actively working towards it, you came to the right place, because that's what we're talking about today. I have videos that are going to represent each one of these. So as this video unfolds, you are more than welcome to raise questions, put out comments in the comment section. If you're listening on the podcast, you can go over to my X page at Sheep Get Sheared, and that's where you can comment over there. You can DM me whatever you want, or you can go to the YouTube channel, the TikTok channel, go wherever you want. But my friends, what we're going to start with, the number one thing, healthful habits wise, I'd recommend man to man is this: get in shape. Now, I know that might seem generic, but I don't just mean physical shape. Your spirit, your mind, your body are all tied together. And so when I say get in shape, you can't neglect any of those three pillars, because if you neglect them, then it's going to affect the other two. For example, if I got in really good jacked physical shape, but I don't take care of my mental health, but all those three things are linked. So the more you focus on one, the more likely you are going to want to work on the others, and they're going to naturally come to you. And this gentleman right here, he's going to discuss this a little bit. So I want to let you hear what he has to say, and I will add if I feel the need to, depending on what he says. Let's let him talk.
But where I'm saying exercise more, one of the most underused forms of antidepressants is exercise. And one of the most overused forms is food and television. You know, when you're stressed and depressed and anxious, you can go on a nice long run. You can go in the gym, start clanging and banging. And as you work out more, you release dopamines and endorphins, and you create bilateral stimulation where you get your left side of the brain and the right side of the brain to work together to solve your problems. See, exercising more is more than just building your health in your body. It is literally helping you psychologically get over your anxiety, your depression, your overwhelm. Think about the level of consistency and focus it takes to go to the gym on a consistent basis, or to go out there and to run, or to go and do calisthenics in your garage, whatever it is. Exercise more to a point where you go to sleep tired.
I think he's right on the money with that. What I will add, though, is there's a mental factor to it. I'll tell you guys a personal story, okay? I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was in the Air Force about 3 years ago, this is a tough story to talk about, but 2 to 3 years ago, I was in a mental hospital on constant suicide watch for 28 days. I'd hit rock bottom in my life, and I had attempted to self-delete myself, and I was in a hospital as a result of that. Okay. Now, when I look back on that today, and I don't tell you that so you could say, oh, boo-hoo, poor Austin. No, that's not the point I'm telling you the story. The point of telling the story is I know what it's like to be down bad, low, have no reason to live, no reason to get out of bed in the morning, and I didn't care about anything. I didn't care about me. I didn't care about the world. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about nothing. I was upset and unhappy with my life. I had no idea where I wanted to go. All I knew was I wasn't happy where I was in that moment. I thought the military was the answer, but it wasn't the answer for me because I was so low in my life. I told myself, as soon as I started to rebound, I said, I will never, ever end up where I was in that hospital, in that low moment. I will never go back to that place, ever. And I've spent every day since then building myself out, trying to build up others around me, hoping that nobody else has to learn the way I had to learn and get a nice pimp slap in the face as to how life works and how to recover and what matters in your life. Very important that you know that, okay? So when we talk about physical fitness, it really helped me. When I was in the hospital the first week, I didn't want to get out of my room. I didn't want to go do anything. I was like, man, F all this garbage. I'm not doing anything. But then one of my buddies who I met in there, who I talk to even till this day, a little bit here and there, he told me, hey, I go work out every day. You should come with me. And I was like, whatever, fine. And I went and I started to work out, and I noticed when I pushed myself really hard, using that anger, using that animosity I had towards life, my situation, my own soul, and my own body, I used that towards something good. And I started to feel a little better. It wasn't enough, but it was a good starting point. And so, as someone who's been on these antidepressant drugs, let me tell you, it's not the miracle that you think it is. At least it wasn't for me. Maybe it is for you, it wasn't for me. And what really got me out of that low and dark place was myself. They can treat you, but they can't cure you. And they'll tell you that if you actually ask them. You ask them, they'll tell you that. I cured myself. Now, does that mean I never feel sad and I never feel anxious anymore? No, absolutely not. I still do, of course. But it was exercise and getting in shape physically that helped me get in shape mentally. And now, getting in shape spiritually as well, which is all part of the biblical bachelor lifestyle. All of this is part of it. And this is why this is important to me and why I'd say for healthy habit number one is getting in shape, and that's physically, mentally, and spiritually. So thank you for that, gentlemen, for that. Let's go on to lesson number two. Lesson number two, my friends, is this. Transmutate the toxic elements. And what I mean by that is all of us have emotions that we don't like. We have potentially conditions that are really bad for us. We have things in our life that we allow to get in our way. And people call these excuses. Like people will say, oh, I have an excuse. Oh, this isn't fair. But you know what's interesting is I know a guy in my life, he has one pec missing. Okay? And when I look at him, he's arguably more jacked than I am, and he's missing an entire pectoral muscle, and he does not let that interfere with his bodybuilding at all. Now, that's inspiring. But then you have these people on the internet talking about body positivity as a mask to prevent them from having to put in effort. They don't want to do hard work. They want you to just adapt to them. They don't want to put in work. They don't want to do anything of actual difficulty in this life. At least not from where I'm standing. And so when we get into this conversation of transmutating this toxic energy, I mean, for example, if you are angry at stuff in your life, you're angry, don't just lash out and destroy things and do dumb stuff. Because guess what? That's only going to get you in jail or get you sued or ruin friendships and relationships. Why would you do that? Use that anger and go to the gym. Use that anger and go and build something. My friends, if you're a man and you have a testosterone level over 300 per deciliter, and you have like a normal testosterone level, let me tell you, you will have a desire to create or destroy. Okay? If you are not willing to create something, you will destroy, whether it's your life, somebody else's life. It's easier to tear something down than it is to build something up. And one of the reasons why I love the idea of semen retention is because of Napoleon Hill, who I'm about to play here in a second. And it was his ideas, his discussion around through Outwitting the Devil, Thinking Grow Rich, that changed my perspective on this. And I'll let Napoleon Hill take it from here. He was the one who really pioneered this idea of transmutating, especially sexual energy, but I would add energy in general that is toxic to you or that is negative in general. But without further ado, let's let Napoleon Hill talk. Take it away, sir.
The emotion of sex is the most powerful of all emotions, and it is nature's great creative instrument with which all species of living things are perpetuated. The proper means of self-discipline of the emotion of sex is transmutation, the control and direction of this great emotional feeling toward the attainment of worthy purposes, such as the fulfillment of one's major purpose in life. The great leaders, artists, orators, industrialists, and professional people have learned the art of sex transmutation through the proper system of self-discipline. Because of the delicacy of the subject of sex emotion, I am limited as to the information I can give you about it on this visit. But I have covered the subject much more in detail in some of my books.
Well, thank you, Mr. Napoleon Hill. I appreciate that. And gentlemen, this is why I discussed this idea in such detail, because transmutating toxic energy, whether it be anger, fear, it could even be a negative sexual expression. I don't care what it is. Okay. When we get down to this conversation, there are things that hold you back. Negativity is not inherently bad. It's part of the human condition. What makes it negative is you allow it to be a destructive force in your life. If you can learn to transmutate that into something positive, then that will change your life and you'll get to your life. You'll get to your goals faster. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. It's going to be something that's going to be a daily fight. But if you can adapt this second healthy habit to your life, you will get to where you want to go faster. But like I said, it won't be easy. It will be a daily battle. But as somebody who's actively going through it, let me tell you, there's tremendous power in it, but there's also peril as well. I talked about that yesterday. But if we do not stop seeing ourselves as a victim and start having a victor mindset, we're not willing to make the sacrifices of what we have to get what we want, then it's no wonder that we're at where we currently are. And so when we talk about adapting these healthy habits, we need to really be honest with ourselves of where we are. And part of this ties into the last one, the third one, which is learn from those who've already known. Or in other words, learn. There's an old saying from, you know, pirates, but there's also the newer adaptation of this adage in Pirates of the Caribbean where it says, dead men tell no tales. That is false. Dead men tell the best tales, and they're often known as philosophers. You look at some of the people in the past, whether they be like the ones that Napoleon Hill just talked about, great leaders, artists, orators, industrialists, professionals. These people have already been there and done that and gotten the t-shirt and gotten their name mentioned in a history book. There is nothing new under the sun. And so if you can learn lessons from people in the past, you will be so far ahead of those in the present and you will get to the future in a much more effective and efficient way. So right here, right now, I'm going to share with you this video that has 10 sayings from different ancient philosophers and historical figures that I think might be valuable to you, and they're just a taste of what you can find in other books, in other audiobooks, in other YouTube videos. This is the kind of stuff you should be consuming, not the twerking videos on TikTok, not the garbage that they pump out on corporate television. This is the kind of stuff you should be filling your brain with, because as Napoleon Hill said, you are what you think about. You think about distractions and garbage and mush, well, that's what you're going to become. You think of things that are wise, you think of things that are complicated, and you develop discipline, then that is who you will become. Let's watch this video.
10 timeless wisdom from ancient philosophers can provide valuable guidance throughout your life's journey. 1. An unexamined life is not worth living. 2. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. 3. The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. For excellence is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. 5. You could not step twice into the same river, for other waters are ever flowing on to you.
Pausing right there. You see what I'm talking about already? This is just half of the bits of wisdom. We're talking Confucius, Aristotle, Marcus Aurelius. These men were very smart, wise men. So why in the world would we waste our time learning these hard lessons for ourselves when others have already blazed that trail for us? They've already gone down this road and they have this knowledge. There's a saying that wise men learn from the mistakes of others, normal men learn from their own mistakes, and fools can't even learn from their own misfortune. We have to set ourselves up for the best success, and if we are not learning from the lessons of other men who came before us, then we are missing out on opportunity, and we're learning things we could have, and we're learning things the hard way we could have learned the easy way and saved ourselves valuable time. This is why this is the third healthy habit, which is learning from people in the past. If you can't put aside your pride, open a book or listen to an audiobook on your commute to your job, to the gym, or to the grocery store, then you're losing out on time. If you, instead of listening to rap music or country music or whatever have you, listen to stuff like this. It'll get you to think on a higher level. It'll get you thinking about the more complex and convoluted subjects of life that will lead you to asking yourself hard questions, which will then lead you to needing the answers to these hard questions. Let's let this video continue and list the last 5.
6. Courage is knowing what not to fear. 7. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. 8. Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. 9. Patience is of 2 kinds, patience over what pains you, and patience against what you covet. 10. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection.
See, gentlemen, these are just 10 quotes from different philosophers, religious figures, etc. That when we talk about the lessons of learning from the past, that's just the tip of the iceberg, the first snowflake on top of the iceberg. There's so much to learn from any of those 10 men, or it could be from Napoleon Hill, or it could be from Earl Nightingale, or it could be from any of these people who have tremendous wisdom that you can glean from and learn the easy way. We have so much access to more information than any other time in human history, and yet people would rather watch girls' chesticles jiggle and their booties wiggle than learn about stuff like this that will change your life and upgrade you into someone that would have been almost unthinkable back in the day, even 100 years ago. My friends, these are the 3 healthy habits that I would recommend you pick up now, not only as a remedy to your bad habits, but as something that you can then start to build an entire lifestyle around, whether it's the biblical bachelor lifestyle like me, or it could be anybody else's or one of your own creation, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you use healthy habits to replace bad ones, just as you might replace bad food with a good diet, and you can then develop yourself into somebody that you can be proud of. You can look in the mirror and say, I look good, I feel good, I've accomplished things that are hard that nobody else thought I could do, but I did it, and I feel great. This is what I want for you. I don't want you to feel down and like I was. I don't want you to ever end up in that dark place that I was at in my life. I want you to be winning. I want you to become the best you can be, but I can't do it for you, number one. And number two, I have a hard enough time doing it for myself, quite frankly. So my friends, please, if you have anything you want to add, feel free to add it. I'm here for it. If you have anything you want to, you know, critique or comment on, please feel free to do it. This channel is open to you. My friends, think for yourselves, take care, and make sure you give yourself a little food for thought. I hope I did that for you today. Take care of yourselves. I'm out. Peace.